Live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, it's time to go deep on the two-tone blue with former Titans wideout Nate Washington and ESPN Titans reporter Teron Davenport. It's Nate and TD on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
All right, it seems like just yesterday we were on here talking about the Jaguars game and leading into the Lions game, and here we are back again talking about the Lions game, and we're going to lead into the Packers game. Man, that's the NFC North back-to-back. But it's the Nate and TD show. Nate, what's going on, man?
What's up, TD? How you doing, man? Happy holidays to you.
Thanks, man. Happy holidays. Appreciate that. You know, it's always good to be on here talking a little shop. And let's get right into that win over the Lions. I think it was pretty impressive by the Titans. A good job from the defense for the most part. Now, granted, the third down situation continued to show its ugly head, but what were some of your takeaways from the defensive performance against Detroit?
Well, initially it was exactly that, you know, a mentality of here we go again. But, you know, throughout the duration of the game, I think they found their way. They were able to make some plays. They were able to help in that phase of the game and not actually, you know, set the team behind. I think they did a good job. You know, Matt Stafford, in my opinion, has always been an underrated quarterback. He's always been able to work with what they give him and does a great job with whoever's out there to play. He gives his all and does what he can. He's very intelligent and knows where to go with the ball. So, for the Titans to withstand that and that secondary to stand up and make some plays the way that they did as well, for Jeffrey to get home and create the sack that he did, you know, and to get the pressure in the back end of the game that they were able to get, I think it's definitely something for them to look forward to and trying to get this snowball rolling into effect here for these playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's really the whole key, right? You want to get hot going into the postseason. And I think it's a good opportunity for this Titans team to do just that. Now, one of the other things that will definitely help that out is the return of Adoree Jackson. And, you know, just to kind of get into that a little bit, I thought it was pretty good seeing him be able to get out there. And he didn't really have any hesitation, no reservation. You know, he lined up against T.J. Hockenson in the low red zone a couple times, one-on-one, lined up outside. You saw him tackle Amendola short of the sticks from the slot. And then you just saw him playing, you know, in the middle of the field, too, doing a good job on those crossing routes, which has always killed this Titans team this year, you know, on third down. So there were some good things that he was able to do. Saw him communicating out there. I think having Adoree Jackson out there is really going to be a big boost for this secondary. And it takes away the necessity of having Malcolm Butler travel with the opposing team's best receiver. And if you look down the line, right, playoff-wise, I'm not saying he could cover Tyreek Hill each and every snap, but he has shown in the past that he can turn and run with Tyreek Hill somewhat. I mean, because I don't think anybody could run step for step with him consistently. But just having that speed guy in your lineup, you know, as one of your options to cover these faster receivers, I think is major for the Titans.
Man, you know what? It was very, very refreshing seeing Adoree out there. And I think the Titans organization, Coach Vrabel, that training staff, in my opinion, from what I can see and his reaction throughout the game, they did an outstanding job of taking their time with him and making sure that he was ready to be back out there. The confidence always eludes with Adoree, in my opinion. And as you stated, you know, going into this postseason, having a ability to face some of these, you know, elite offenses here in the NFL, especially with Kansas City and those different teams, you know, it definitely gives a strategic plan for the Titans defense. You don't have to have Malcolm, you know, following around that guy anymore for whether it's the slot, because he's your best guy. And in a lot of ways, you know, with Malcolm's experience and his ability of what he brings, in my opinion, Adoree may be the most athletic guy in that secondary. You know, as you stated, speed, quickness, his ability to attack and play the ball in the air. I've seen him do that as well. So I think, you know, to have him back in this time, obviously there's always going to be mismatches. I've spoke before about, you know, cornerbacks being one of the most difficult positions because, as you stated, you know, we're looking forward to him matching up with guys like Tyreek. But occasionally you'll get beat. You know, you'll get beat and the receiver will win that match occasionally. But to have a guy out there with the ability that Dory has and to make the plays that he's making here, with his first game back, I think it's definitely going to boost his secondary's ability to play big on Sundays.
No doubt. And you mentioned elite offenses. And, Nate, I tell you what, we got to talk to Matt LaFleur on his conference call. And one of the first things he said about the Titans was they're the number one scoring offense. I almost dropped my phone and my laptop because you're not used to hearing that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when you look at the balance on this offense, I think it's really outstanding the way Arthur Smith has been able to balance the rushing and passing. Obviously, we know what Derrick Henry brings to the table. You stack the box. Ryan Tannehill was able to pick on defenses for doing that, taking advantage of one-on-one on the outside. So there is a balance in the rush attack and pass attack. But what I'm finding now and what I think is really taking this offense to the next level is the balance in the passing attack, because it's no longer just that play action, A.J. Brown on that drive route across the middle. It's Corey Davis now, too. Well, what are your thoughts on the balance that they found in the passing game? As well as, I mean, you look at Jonnu Smith is still a factor as well. We'll get into another guy who is going to become a factor after we talk about this A.J. Brown, Corey Davis balance.
Great, great balance, as you stated. You know, from the run game to the pass game, complementing each other, and individually doing exactly what they should to be balanced within themselves. What do I mean by that is, as you stated, looking at this past game and looking at what A.J. Brown is capable of bringing to the table, to have Corey on the other side coming into the force and to the ability that he's coming into and him being reliable throughout this season as he's been reliable, it creates balance on this offense. A lot of times teams get into this situation and, you know, you go into games with Alvin Kamara and a Mike Thomas. But when you get that other guy, when you get that guy that's able to balance out the look of your offense and make you pay for the times you game plan against those teams' main guys, then it's definitely going to create a major opportunity for your offense to be number one in the league. I look at this offense and it's very refreshing for me, because when you look around the league, everybody else is very detailed in what they do, but they're always either pass or run. You don't have the balance that the Titans have there. And when you look at what the Titans are able to do with Ryan, his ability now to play big and straight drop back action instead of having to play action and everything being sold off of selling the run fake, I think it just creates a horrible matchup for anybody that's going to be facing the Titans. Because here it is that you tell yourself, okay, we'll go out and we'll be physical with these guys and we'll stop the run. Well, they got two guys on the outside that are going to make you pay. And at the very moment you tell yourself, okay, well, we need to go out here, make sure we strategically plan to stop A.J. Brown, keep him out of the game, make sure we're accountable for Corey Davis, you're forgetting that the main thing about this Titans offense is that they want to run the ball. And Derrick Henry will run that ball through your chest every time if he has the ability. And as you stated, you know, it's been an up and down season for him, a couple of injuries here and there, but Jonnu's ability in itself creates problems. When you turn on the film, if I'm an opposing team, when I turn on this film on this offense and I look at what their ability to do, I'm telling myself for a long period of time, we have to be accountable for Jonnu Smith, because if we allow him to get started, then that's going to be end all be all. You can't stop this offense when Jonnu's going, Corey and AJ's in the right direction, and they're all leading or following behind the lead of Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill continues to play turnover-free football. This offense, sky's the limit.
No doubt about it. And then even taking it a step further, got to see something this past Sunday that I've been waiting for quite some time. I talked to Louis Riddick about him, and he has been excited about Darrington Evans since training camp. So getting to see him out there and the juice that he was running with. There was one stretch he had a 9-yard run, an 8-yard run, a 3-yard run, and then two plays later he caught the screen for the touchdown. But even before that, when he had the first screen and he caught that thing, and man, he hit it, you know, and he showed a lot of juice And as Mike Vrabel said, he didn't step out of bounds, right? He stayed in bounds, and he kept fighting for extra yards. And I think when you have a guy like that, now you could go into a different 22, because they obviously use a lot of 22 personnel, two tight ends, two running backs. But one of those running backs is a fullback. Now you could get into 22 personnel, and then you could have Darrington Evans as one of the two running backs, and you could line him up outside or in the slot or somewhere like that. He has wide receiver background. So I think that's a whole different dynamic, and they're getting him into the mix at the perfect time, because now this is yet another thing for defenses to be concerned with.
Definitely a new wrinkle. Definitely something that I've been begging for. And as you can see, when confidence grows within a player, as I've stated before on the show, then you have the ability to see a new player. And that is only going to happen with a guy getting, you know, reps, getting the ability to touch the ball. And I've been asking, you know, as good as great as Derek has been this year with his ability to bring the spunk to the Titans offense and basically just put them on his back, I've been begging for an opportunity for another guy, because as you can see, as you stated with his explosion on the screenplay, it's just a different change of pace. Even his run style in itself, those things create problems. Those things create a different dynamic. Even if you can be strategically sound, hit every gap you want to as a defense, for a guy to hit your hole at a different pace, faster than what Derrick Henry typically would do, it gives you a different look on what you're facing. And to have those guys interchangeable, to get him more reps now, to see the confidence building, it definitely obviously creates something that a defense is going to have to be prepared for. They're going to come into this game now, if they continue to give him the opportunities, and this is going to be a unique opportunity, not only for, you know, the running backs in the room, but each and every guy on this offense. One thing about the NFL is each player will impact the game from both all phases on all 11 guys. As I stated before, you can have one guy out there that's great, but if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, it's not going to affect anyone else out there, because it's still going to take 11 guys to win that game. With Evans now on the field and getting these carries that he's getting, man, and the explosion that he's bringing to the table, man, this is. I feel like, in my opinion, this is going to even make Derek better, because now you get a speed guy in there, you get a guy that you have to chase around, and now you got to go back to being the ground and pound and have the physical nature to stop a 240-pound back. It's going to create hell on the defense, man, and I'm definitely excited about them finally getting Evans going.
No doubt about it. So you hear the excitement in Nate's voice about Darrington Evans. You guys need to be excited, too, because this guy brings juice. He's someone that adds another wrinkle. But this Titans offense, they're 31.1 points per game. That's the number one scoring offense, also number one in total points. There's another offense that's very close, and we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to get into that offense and get into Matt LaFleur versus Mike Vrabel. All right, back from the break. It's time to get into a little bit of that Packers offense. But before we do, let's get into the Matt LaFleur versus Mike Vrabel situation. And I have to tip my cap to Matt LaFleur, you know, because he interviewed for this head coaching job, didn't get it. They hired Mike Vrabel, and then they brought him in to be the OC. And he came in, and that transition seemed to be smooth. And I understand why he would want to make that transition, because it's a step up. And for his sake, it was another step towards becoming a head coach himself with the Packers. But when you look at these two coaches, there's such a contrast in style. Like, Mike Vrabel is so in your face and so aggressive with it. You know what I mean? Whereas Matt LaFleur is a bit more laid back. And it's very interesting seeing how he has gone into Green Bay and just – really settled in with Aaron Rodgers. And that's something that everyone, when that hiring was made, everyone was like, how is that going to happen? But true to Matt LaFleur's form, he's always worked with quarterbacks very well. Matt Ryan, best years with him. Jared Goff, you saw what Jared Goff did. Obviously, Sean McVay had a lot to do with that as well. But what we're seeing is a guy continue to do what he's done the whole time that he's been a coach. When you look at those two, What do you think of Matt LaFleur as a head coach, first off?
Oh, man, one of the great offensive minds of the game right now. I think what he's brought to the table and his credentials, a lot of people understand and recognize that his unique offense gives a quarterback unique ability to go impact the game immediately. He's going to take shots. He's going to be, you know, very strategic in his offensive approach. I think he's done a great job with, as you stated, you know, connecting with the quarterback in the league can be very difficult, especially when you're dealing with a veteran guy that had a relationship with Mike McCarthy for so many years. You know, that could be definitely a difficult situation for a new head coach to step into. But obviously it's clicked well for these two, and they found the synergy within themselves to put great football on the field, to go out and play offensive football. And, you know, when you look at this team, from the leadership standpoint of Matt LaFleur, you know, the defense is playing at a high level as well. Yeah. So, you know, obviously they're feeding off of each other in every phase of the game. And I think he's doing an excellent job of leading a full football team in the battle every Sunday.
Now, one thing that definitely doesn't hurt is having Aaron Rodgers. Now, and even though that was going to be an initial obstacle, like he had to imagine you're a young Matt LaFleur going to Green Bay. And you have right. a veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. Man, what are you going to teach me? Right?
Right.
But to their credit, both of these guys approached this like grown men, and they understood that they were there to help each other. And once that relationship started to take off, that Packers team, you saw number two seed last year. They're probably going to be the number one seed this year. When you look at Aaron Rodgers, though, he has Devontae Adams, too. So, in your opinion, like when you watch these guys, what makes them so dangerous? For me, you know, I think it's his yards after the catch ability, but also I think the way that they hook up on broken plays as well. But for you, as a former pro receiver, when you look at Devontae Adams, you look at Aaron Rodgers, what makes them so dangerous?
Man, I have to start with Devontae. It starts for me with his release. His release in itself is going to create separation. As a receiver, you know, they always tell you, you know, in one-on-one type of situations to go out there with the plan, to go out there with the understanding to know who you're facing and how they may defend you. And I feel like Devontae goes out there and he is so reactive that there's never a time that you could have a plan on stopping him and he's not prepared to counteract. I think, as I stated, it all starts with his ability to get clean releases off the line of scrimmage. A lot of times those releases in itself creates a yard or two separation for him. The top of the routes are definitely elite. He plants his foot in the ground and separates greatly. You know, every time he gets up to the top of his route, you know, he can go on and on about his ability to catch the ball and, you know, yards after the catch. But, you know, it starts there for me. And those things are something that a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers are going to lick their chops with, because when you break the huddle, strategically planning and game planning and all those type of things, you'll have a play in mind. But good quarterbacks want to break the huddle with confidence to know that there's a guy out there that they can go to that's going to get open every time. And a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers breaking the huddle with a guy that's able to get separation initially, like Devontae, it's hell on wheels, to be honest with you, man. He's very – obviously, Aaron's very accurate. He's very timely. And I think a lot of times when they go out together, Aaron kind of breaks the huddle with the understanding, all right, well, I know where I'm going with this ball. Just make sure you get open. And even if he's not reading that side of the field where Devontae may be initially, I think a lot of those times it's just Aaron playing games with the secondary, giving a different eyes, taking his eyes away from his main look just so he can come back to his number one look and throw that open pass. I don't think that there's not one defensive back in this league that can cover Devontae Adams one-on-one. And I think they'll all agree with that. So it's a team strategic planning to try to stop these two. And my full humble opinion right now, I don't think there's a better tandem in the league better than Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
Yeah, you have to say that they're up there, and it's so crazy. You know, I look at Devontae Adams, and I remember him coming out of Fresno, and I figured he would be a good player. I never would have thought that he would ascend to one of the top receivers in the league, and it's just one of those things where I love it because this guy superseded measurables. You know, looking at some of these things, You see 4.56 40, you're thinking, oh, well, you know, he's not that fast. But you see him out there, and he really does his thing there. So I'm glad that he's been able to come in and just kind of supersede the spider charts that a lot of people use when they're analyzing draft prospects. It's really good. But another guy that I was high on when he was coming out is Aaron Jones. And if you look at, you just watch a Packers game, right? You see him catching the screens. You see him running the football. I mean, look at just a couple of weeks ago, he broke off that run against the Eagles just to shut the whole thing down when the Eagles were trying to come back. I feel like he's one of the most underrated and most complete running backs in the league. And I slipped and said receivers because in watching him come out, you know, when I watched him in college, that was something that he did really well. He caught the football almost like a receiver. I remember watching a few plays, you know, where he tracked it over the shoulder and did things like receivers normally do, not a running back. So I feel he's one of the most complete running backs, you know, coming out of UTEP. What say you?
Man, you know what? When you look at this offense, man, this is actually one of the unique times that the passing game has opened up the run game. Mm-hmm. And as you stated, with that ability in itself and to have a guy like Aaron Jones back there, I feel like the same way. He's definitely probably top underrated back in the league because of what he's capable to bring in complementary action to that phase of the ball for them. Offense has been the key for them. It's carried them, and it's energizing the defense. But Aaron Jones in itself, to be complementary to this, you know, passing game with Aaron Rodgers and what he's able to do with the guys that he has on the outside is great. You know, from running between the tackles to being impactful on the outside and still creating those unique passes, pass catches that you said you've seen from him in college. You know, I think he's still reliable and dependable in the pass game, but at any given moment, you know, those runs between the tackles can be 30-yard runs with Aaron Jones. And I think he definitely doesn't get the respect that he deserves. But obviously, when you got a team like you do with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams in front of you, you know, a lot of teams and media and everybody walking is going to understand that team revolves around them. But I would definitely have to agree with you. He definitely doesn't get the respect that he deserves because he's definitely one hell of a back and does a great job of running in between the tackles but also impacting the pass game as well on the outside.
Make no mistake, this Titans defense is going to have their hands full. I think this would be a 40-burger versus 40-burger. I think both teams mess around, put up 40 points. We'll get into that in the final segment. But, yeah, I you know, as defensive backs, you got a plaster this week. That's something that Anthony Midgett, when we got to talk to him, he said that was so important, you know, when you're going against this team. But I want to see, because you mentioned his footwork and mentioned what he's able to do at the line of scrimmage, I want to see how this group of Titans cornerbacks attacks going against Devontae Adams. Because, as you know, they've played off so much against the – and you can't do that against Aaron Rodgers. I remember watching when I was covering the Eagles. I remember watching them try that against the Packers. And all Aaron Rodgers kept doing was checking to the quick slant, you know, checking to those hammer routes, right? You know, just one step and turn and catch it. And they were just methodically working their way down the field. So this is a team that will make you pay for playing off, but Adams can make you play for playing up on them too. So we'll see how that works. So that's the Packers offense. It's time to get into the defense. That's exactly what we'll do when we come back from the break. Including one guy that, by golly, this darn team should have signed, but they didn't. We'll be right back. All right, back from the break, Nate and TD. Appreciate Kenny on those bumps, man. He's doing the thing, man. Definitely keep that up. Nate, there's a guy that's going to be on this field that absolutely, in my opinion, should have been a Titan. Hey, let me say something, man. I remember – leading up to, like, in that free agency period, especially, you know, when Dean Pease was here, I went back and I was watching cut-ups and, you know, looked at Za'Darius Smith, and I just said, man, this guy would be a perfect fit. And I remember covering Z Smith when he first came into the league out of Kentucky. It's funny because, you know, he's a guy that didn't get as much attention as the guy on the opposite side of him in Bud Dupree. But, you know, I tell you what, he's turned out to be probably the better player. But that being said, you know, I really thought that he would have been a perfect fit for this Titans defense. And lo and behold, the Packers snapped him up along with Preston Smith. And now, you know, Dom Capers and that defense, they're rolling. What are your thoughts on the Packers defense? I mean, is this something would they get a bunch of sacks against this Titans offense and that offensive line?
Well, I'll say this. It's definitely going to be a battle for the Titans offensive line. Za'Darius Smith is, you know, one of the elite pass rushers that we have in the game right now. His ability to impact the game on anything from run stopping defense to rushing the passer, I think he's one of the top guys. And definitely it presents an opportunity for them to get, you know, to the quarterback. But this is what I'll also say as well. With the interchanging line that this Titans have faced throughout this season, the injuries, you know, they've had some lapses here and there. They've given up some sacks. But whether it's, you know, the strategic game planning from Arthur Smith or just his awareness in itself, Ryan's ability to get the ball out of his hands quick, and also, you know, this offensive line to withhold as long as they can, has been creating a lot of opportunities for them to go still make plays. So it's going to be interesting. You know, I definitely think if Ryan continues to get the ball out of his hand quickly, be decisive about where he wants to go with the ball and not, you know, question himself, then I think, you know, this offensive line could possibly hold up and not maybe keep them all the way out of the sack category, but at least limit, you know, them maximizing those situations. And it'll give them an opportunity. But definitely, if there's a situation at hand where Ryan second guesses or he doesn't understand where he's what they're the look that the defense is giving him, then this is going to be a hell of a day for the Titans offense, because this pass rush from the Packers can definitely get after the quarterback. And I definitely think even their secondary does a good job of giving, you know, that pass rush an opportunity to get homes. Jair Alexander and this secondary has been doing a good job of making plays on the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, Art Smith attacks this defense and try to create opportunities for them to put points on the board.
It really amazes me how underrated Jair Alexander is, man. That's one of my favorite corners in the league. He, Jalen Ramsey, and Trey Davis White, those are my three favorite corners in the league. But I'm looking forward to watching that matchup, right? You know, Jair going against whoever it may be, Corey Davis or A.J. Brown. I don't think they'll have him travel with either of them. But I think the bigger matchup, and Derrick Henry, right? You know, he's on his quest for 2,000 yards. But more importantly, he's on his quest for helping this team get into the playoffs and win the division title. We all understand that in order for this Titans team to do that, they have to run the ball effectively. So when you look at this Packers defense, statistically, they're the 11th best defense in the NFL when it comes to rush defense. I personally think that the Titans will be able to run the football on them, even though they have some of these outstanding players. Like, you look at Adrian Amos, he's an outstanding run defender. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, those guys meet up, he and Derrick Henry. But when you look at this whole picture, right, can the Packers stop Derrick Henry? Or is this a game where Derrick Henry should really be able to get off?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I really see it up in the air. I think that this Titans offense compared to this, you know, Packers defense, and that front seven that they have, Christian Kirksey, has been a traveled guy since his Browns days. And as you stated with Amos, these guys are definitely able to stop the run. So it's definitely going to take persistence as usual. I'm looking forward to, obviously, though, the consistent third and fourth quarter continuing pounding from Derrick Henry to hopefully open up some big runs and some splash plays. But, you know, when you look at it, obviously, with them also being in Green Bay as well, right? You know, this is cold weather game. Mm-hmm. I think this creates an opportunity for the run game. And we'll see how the Packers are able to hold up physically against what Derek is able to bring to the table with his size and his physical nature. So it's going to be interesting. This definitely is going to be a physical football game. I'm definitely expecting the Titans to be persistent in what they do, obviously run the ball, but definitely an opportunity for this Packers defense to try to, you know, bulk back and be physical with them and try to stop Derek from getting his accomplishment of not only that 2,000-yard season, but stopping this Titans offense from exalting this team into the playoffs.
So do you think that Arthur Smith should have it in his mind that he wants to attack on the ground? Because we know, right, that the first 15 plays, they're scripted, and those are the bread and butter plays for that week. Are you expecting to see a lot of run plays in there and some play action off of it, or what are your thoughts on there?
Well, I'm hoping and praying that, as I've stated before, Art just continues to be unapologetically him. This team, I feel like the Titans offense is set up to the point where they have to walk in stadiums behind Derek Henry and just basically tell people, you know, like Mark Shawn said, you know why I'm here. You know what I'm saying? It has to be that type of attitude, because when you outthink yourself and you go into these type of situations and you tell yourself, well, they're going to try to stop Derek and they have a possibility of doing that, then you go out and you try to game plan a whole, you know, strategic game plan to counteract that. I feel like you outthink yourself. Staying within the game plan of running the ball, being physical, gives you an opportunity to look at, okay, well, now they're stopping us, let's open up the pass game now, you know, and you're able to make the corrections from there. But when you go out automatically off of a game plan to systemically take away your strongest asset, which is your run game and Derrick Henry, I don't think that's going to pan out well for them. So I think, I'll say it again, that Art has to go into this game being apologetically him, running the ball, sticking his chest out, putting his best chess piece on the table in Derrick Henry and telling them, you know, stop me if you can. And that's the way you're going to have to beat us. But other than that, I don't think he should deviate away from what they do best, and that's run the ball and allowing everything else to feed off of that run action.
And you're 100% right. That needs to be week in and week out. And I know last year when they ran the football a lot against the Bucks, who had the league's top run defense, everyone was like, well, they're really good at run defense. Why are you? No, you do what you do. As you said, you be unapologetically you. And that's what they have to do. And it just, when it comes to having to, you know, go into a different stadium and win that game and deliver a message from the start, I think that's how you do it with that rushing attack. And the thing that I like about this Titans offense, though, is there's still physicality even in the passing attack.
Right.
Because you know, you got some angry runners, man, in A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis. And I think when you could be physical and deliver blows on each and every play, you know, whether you're running the ball or passing the ball, that's a big-time thing for you. And I think that's a feather in their cap. Arthur Smith absolutely is going to have to focus on the run, but definitely mix that pass in. And now that you have, as we talked about in the opening segment, Darrington Evans, get him involved too. And I think that's going to be a good thing for this offense to be able to put up points. Because to me, this is what it comes down to. The last team that has football is going to win. It's almost like a race to 50 points, in my opinion. Like, if there's an over to bet, I just very well might hammer it, you know what I mean, if I was a betting guy. You know what I mean? The Titans are minus 4 points to open up. But, you know, long story short, there's going to be a lot of points scored. I'm looking forward to it. It's Sunday Night Football. It's a primetime game, too. So it's definitely going to be a good opportunity for this Titans team to deliver a message in front of a national audience. So we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll put a bow around it. You know we got to get the predictions. You know we got to get the key matchups. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, so now it's time to put a bow around this fabulous informational show that we've done. Got Elijah also, you know, giving us some help making this thing work. So shout out to Elijah. We touched on it in the last segment, and I want to just kind of carry that over into this one, into the start of this one. And that's just Are the Titans built for a December win in Green Bay? We all know it is very difficult to win a game in Green Bay, especially in December. Obviously, there won't be fans there, but you still have that weather. You have, you know, just the I don't want to say
stop
mystique.
Right there, TD. The weather alone, man. Trust me, it's a doozy.
Have you played a December game in?
Yes, I played a December game with the Pittsburgh Steelers there, and I've also played a December game with the Titans there. Cold, man. Cold.
Different, huh?
And I'll say this. Yeah, and I'll say this, man. Your question, are they built for this win? I think they definitely are, actually. I think the Titans are definitely built to go into Green Bay because due to the circumstances alone, like I said, with the inclement weather, you know, a lot of guys going there, you know, they go out and pregame, they take their shirts off, they warm up, it's that whole thing. But I'm telling you, man, third quarter, you really get the question in your profession, man, and did you choose the right thing to do? You know what I'm saying? You get to wondering if that stock job is still open for you on the back end sometimes. So, you know, to go out there with this type of team that they have, to be a physical football team, to be able to run the ball that they are able to do, to be able to do the things that they're able to do on the offensive side of the ball alone, I think you take the air out of the ball, create a time of possession war with Aaron Rodgers and keep him off the field. Mm-hmm. I think they're definitely built to withstand and go into a cold Green Bay atmosphere in a difficult weather and pull out a win. But it's definitely something that is not going to be easy, obviously. Practicing in Nashville, you can't practice, you know, being in that type of cold weather. You can't practice being ready for that Sunday climate. So you're going to have to have it set in your mind to play a full 60-minute game and allow things to happen as they are and make sure that you're just playing the next play. But I think the Titans can put themselves in position to win this ball game.
Now, the good thing in all of this is the guys on the Packers, they get cold too. So that's definitely going to help out. But I think just having a pack and play team that runs the football well, controls the turnover battle, does a good job with field position, but then also defends the run pretty well. I think those are four things that can definitely lead to a team being really good on the road. I feel like they have a really good shot and they are very well prepared to go into Lambeau Field and come out with a key victory. This would be a signature win for them if they get that. And in order to get that, obviously it's going to be Derrick Henry that has to go off. So as we mentioned, this is a game in front of a national audience. Can Derrick Henry be the MVP? Can he win the MVP, or is that just a quarterback award?
Well, I'll say this. I think, you know, as a fan standpoint, looking at it as a fan, now I think he definitely has an opportunity to be a finalist, to be considered to be the MVP. But as you stated, man, unfortunately, you know, if you're not that guy that has impacted the way I can't even state that you will have the game, the way that you would have to impact the game in order to win an MVP over a quarterback. And obviously your front runners right now are Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes in the league. They've been doing an outstanding job throughout this year and it's going to be difficult, but you know, regardless of the situation, Derek definitely deserves the recognition and the respect of, you know, being the asset on his team that solely at a lot of times is the reason why they win, you know, even offensively and defensively. You know, you look at this Titans team, you know, with the struggles that the defense has had, the up and down year that, you know, the passing game of the offense has had. And to be honest with you, there is no pass game without the ability of Derrick Henry, in my opinion. As good as AJ is, as good as Corey is, and as good as Ryan has been in turnover efficiency, I think it's just Derek at the end of the day. But unfortunately, I don't think, you know, the committee will see it that way. I think they will obviously give this award to a quarterback yet again another year. But I think his respect level has definitely arised for Derrick Henry, and he definitely deserves everything he's getting right now.
Yeah, and you look at last year, right? Michael Thomas broke records. I mean, we're talking about all-time records. And
right.
He wasn't the MVP for a Saints team that was kind of good, you know. But he went the same route that I think Derrick Henry's going to end up going, and that's getting the offensive player of the year. And basically that's the award that's open to everybody else. So Derrick Henry, right. That's probably the hardware that he's going to get down there in Tampa. We'll see what happens, but I think it's time to get into these key matchups. And I'm going to start on offense. For me, I think the key matchup on offense is just going to be those tackles against those edge guys, because if they don't control that and Ryan Tannehill is constantly under duress and getting sacked, they're going to be behind the chains, right? So then you can't as efficiently run the football. So for me, Quisenberry, Dennis Kelly, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, I think that's where it is. Don't forget about Kenny Clark. We didn't mention Kenny Clark on this show, but he's someone else, obviously, in the middle that could be a factor. But, well, what's your take on the offensive key matchup?
Yeah, I definitely would agree with you. You know, you look at this Packers defense, and their edge rushers are definitely going to be the ones that you're immediately trying to stop to eliminate what the Titans are able to do. But I'll skip away from what you've already stated, and I'll go to the secondary. And obviously, Zaire Alexander's ability to impact the game has been huge. You know, creating turnovers, being a shutdown on one side of the field is definitely going to put, you know, a stress and strain on the other side. You know, so if he's able to do what he's able to do against, whether it's Corey or AJ, I'm seeing a lot of times that, you know, obviously they interchange, but Corey is always, you know, typically on the right side of the offense, and there's a lot of times that AJ is on the left. So it's going to be interesting to see how Art, you know, tries to get this pass game incorporated into Sunday and try to allow that to be impactful. So I'll definitely go Jair Alexander against, you know, either AJ or Corey.
No argument there. No argument whatsoever. I'll go ahead and let you lead off with the defense. Well, what's your key matchup for the Titans defense?
Man, at the end of the day, we can go up and down the list, but if you don't stop or at least limit Davante Adams, you don't have a chance of beating this team. Davante has been creating separation and giving Aaron, you know, the opportunity to be impactful as he's been. I think his turnover to a touchdown ratio is crazy right now. And it's solely because you look up and you always have a guy getting open. I think we can, you know, address Aaron's ability to impact the game. But when I look at this team, man, if he doesn't have a guy like Davante Adams on his roster, then I don't even know if he's the same Aaron Rodgers. So I'll go with Davante Adams versus Malcolm Butler. Malcolm is definitely going to have to understand that he'll get beat, and I'm pretty sure that he understands that, but just to keep his passion and emotion directed towards impacting the game, I think is going to be important for Malcolm this Sunday.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, but just to present a different, not perspective, but a different challenge, you could get into Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. You could get into those two guys as the ones on the opposite side of Davante Adams. But for me, I think it's going to the red zone. And in the red zone, Aaron Rodgers has always liked to utilize the tight end. So Robert Tonyan, 10 touchdowns. He, in my opinion, is going to be the key matchup with what they're able to do with him in the red zone to keep those drives where Davante Adams gets them all the way down there. And when they don't go to Adams on that slant or that fade or whatever they go to him with, you know, in the red zone, Tonyan is the guy. So I think that's someone that you know, will be a big factor, and controlling him is going to have a lot to do with the outlook of this game. And that being said, prediction-wise, I'll go ahead and lead off. And, man, I've gone back and forth with this multiple times, but – you know, I'm going with the Titans. I think the Titans go into Green Bay and beat the Packers by a score of 45-42. And I think Derrick Henry is going to have 165 rushing yards. It's going to be all about him really leading the way for him.
Man, I'm sad today. This will be my first time predicting for the others. But to be honest, looking at this Titans team, unfortunately, the one thing, the deficit that I see in them that is not going to be helpful for them at all is they've been starting off slow. Art has been doing an awesome job of trying to create the first 15, but whether it's offensively or defensively, they've come out and there's always been a lapse on either side, and they can't afford that this week. So I'm looking at it, the way I'm looking at it is I'm still looking forward to a close game, but I'm looking for a slow start by the Titans. I'm hoping I'm wrong, which will if ultimately affect them because, you know, once Aaron jumps on you, man, and they're putting up points and he's flowing, then there is no stopping them. So, unfortunately, I'm going to go Packers 35, Titans 31. I think at the end, I think the slow start by the Titans will affect them too much to try to make their way back into it. And with that run offense that they have, won't be able to take the time of possession over like they want to. So it's going to be interesting. I'm hoping that I'm completely wrong, and I'm hoping that the Titans come out and get an early jump on these guys. But if they're not able to, it's going to be a long day for them because they won't be able to slow Aaron down.
There you have it. Hey, folks, be easy on his Twitter, man. I want to keep Nate out there because he's the gift king. Has me cracking up every day with a gift. So be easy on him, okay?
I hope I'm wrong, TD, baby. I hope I'm wrong, man.
No doubt. Well, Nate, I appreciate you, man. Every week, this thing is just it's cake, man. And that's because of the input that you bring and the excitement. It's a pleasure doing the show with you, man. And I appreciate you. Happy holidays, man. I hope you and yours, you know, have a Merry Christmas and everything. And we'll get back next week.
No doubt, man. It's always great with you too, man. You lead me to the promised land well, TD, man. It's always a pleasure and happy holidays to you and your family. And may God continue to bless y'all. Happy holidays to all the listeners as well.
For sure. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. Shout out Elijah Campbell, my man Kenny, also making the work. We'll be back next week.